You know, I take that back. He was not. He's not the deputy. He's not the deputy governor. He is the assistant governor for Rotary District 7890. I just want to make sure I get the credentials correct. His name is Dave Tedeschi. Dave, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you? Did I give you a title that you are unworthy of, or did I demote you, or did I kindly give you a promotion?
Well, it's a title that I don't think exists, but it certainly would make me higher than what I am. I'm an assistant governor for Rotary District 7890. So, and there's 10 of us, so I'm one of 10 assistant governors.
Well, that's still quite a title. Before we get into the purpose of you joining us this morning, explain, first and foremost, what is Rotary's mission? And then we can go into a little bit about your title and your responsibilities, and then we'll get into what today happens to be.
Well, Rotary is an international service organization, so we're involved in so many different areas. We're involved in education, literacy. We're involved in peace. We're involved in water and sanitation. I mean, this is all over the world. There's a number of things that we do. And I certainly encourage anyone that has any interest in just doing something good for not only their community, for their state, for the world, to look into joining a Rotary Club. There's many of them, almost one in every town, actually.
Yeah, and it's more than just meeting together every Wednesday for lunch. I mean, your motto is service above self, right?
And that's exactly what we do. I mean, some clubs are have a number of members. You know, some clubs have over 100 members. If you look overseas, if you go to India, for instance, they have hundreds and hundreds of people that are members. Our club in Newington is only 22 strong, but as you know, because you're a big supporter of our club, the projects that we do are phenomenal for a small club.
They are. What's interesting about Rotary, Dave, is that you can, and you mentioned this yourself, you can go anywhere in the country, anywhere overseas, internationally, and attend one of their Rotary meetings, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. A lot of our members do that. So if you're on vacation, I happen to have gone to one in Aruba when we were on vacation in Aruba. So, and they all have the same purpose, and it's really great. You share your ideas with them while you're meeting with them, and it's phenomenal. They all run kind of the same way. You know, we love our country, so we always honor our country and our club. We always say the Pledge of Allegiance. We sing a song. And then we recognize anyone that's a guest, and you know that because we have a special song that we sing for a special guest.
Yeah, I have been a special guest a number of times for Rotary. And just give me a quick synopsis about being assistant governor. What are some of your duties and your responsibilities in that role?
Well, because our district, Rotary District 7890, is comprised of about 58 clubs throughout Connecticut and Massachusetts, they designate certain people to be in charge of certain clubs. So I have six clubs that I am in charge of in what's called Area 9, which includes Newington, but it also has West Hartford, Hartford, Farmington, Avon, Canton. So, you know, I have to kind of oversee them just to, if they have any difficulties, if their presidents need any help or have any questions, or I give them ideas that come from the district. And I report back to our district governor, who is Mark Glass right now from the East Hartford Club. He is our district governor for this year.
Speaking of president, you were a two-term president for the Newington chapter of Rotary, and a project that you undertook what is mountainous, and yet you were not afraid to climb that mountain. In fact, you chipped away at something and continue to chip away at something, which is human trafficking. And from what I understand, today is National Stomp Out Human Trafficking Day. How big of a problem? Would people be surprised to hear how big of a problem human trafficking is just right here in our state of Connecticut?
Oh, absolutely, Gary. You know, in Connecticut, it's in every town, and I'll go into that a little more later if you'd like me to.
Yes, but, definitely.
It's a big problem. I mean, most of us, when we think of human trafficking, we think of going back to the old movie of Taken, where somebody's kidnapped and brought to a foreign country and violated in whatever way. And that does happen. But human trafficking really is the illegal trade of human beings for the purpose of forced labor, sexual exploitation, domestic servitude, and even, believe it or not, the sale of human organs. It's a lucrative business. It annually generates about $40 billion worldwide. So it is a big problem in Connecticut.
More than just Connecticut. I mean, worldwide, it sounds like. That's a lot. $40 billion, Dave. That's incredible.
It is worldwide, but, you know, people don't think it's here. But the United States has a big problem. And it wasn't, believe it or not, human trafficking has been around for a long time. But it wasn't until the year 2000 that the United States actually took notice. And that was the year that they we passed the federal anti-trafficking law. And it was the first comprehensive federal law to address trafficking in persons. The law allowed for greater statutory maximum sentences for traffickers, provided resources for the protection of and also to assist victims of trafficking, and it created avenues for interagency cooperation. So that didn't really happen until the year 2000.
Oh.
Connecticut is very active, and we do have our own laws. But, you know, you having been a former legislator, you know that laws can always change and be improved, and I think they need to, and that's one of the things our Stop the Traffic Committee at Newington Rotary is going to work for.
Yeah, wishful. We're hoping to stomp this, all of this out with the human trafficking. But you, like I said earlier, the job that you're doing is outstanding. We're speaking with Assistant Governor for Rotary District 7890, Dave Tedeschi. It's surprising. I know some of these answers because I have attended some of your Rotary meetings and had been on your task force, which is an honor to serve. But I think a lot of people would be surprised how exactly the perpetrator really meets and recruits their victims.
Well, you know, the traffickers can be any gender, any age, any race, any ethnicity. They could be a significant other, can also turn out to be the trafficker.
Yeah.
It could be a member of the family. It could be a trusted member of society. It could be somebody with a school, somebody with a camp counselor. It could be, it's amazing. You know, they're everywhere and we don't even know. And that's why it's so important to be vigilant. But the traffickers go after those that are kind of vulnerable. All right. And the average age is usually 13 to 14 year old age.
Oh my goodness.
And you know, anyone that has a teenager, knows that, you know, they go through all these different things that happen at that age. And so, you know, there might be a problem in the household. There may be a problem at school, whatever it is. And these traffickers are so keen on zoning into that. And so they just move in whenever they have the opportunity. It could happen at a movie theater. It could happen at the mall. The mall is a big place because teens gather together. You get a group of girls together, and these traffickers are out there looking, and if they just have that opportunity, they'll take it. And again, I said girls, but this is also a problem for boys. Boys are also trafficked, and men, but boys and men usually, because of the stigma associated with coming out and saying you were involved in that, is a problem for them. So we really don't have a lot of statistics on the male victims.
You learn that it's not necessarily kidnapping, right? A lot of these, the victims of human trafficking end up going home to their parents every night, but they're...
Well, that's...
Yeah, go ahead.
It's interesting that you mention that, because if you look at the statistics, if you were to ask somebody, well, yeah, it happens to somebody that was kidnapped or somebody that's a runaway. You know, runaways are a big part of the human trafficking problem. But the statistics show, especially in Connecticut, the majority of the trafficked youth actually are living at home with their parent or guardian. So it's important, and that's what Newington Rotary has been trying to do, to make people aware and to educate. Parents and guardians have to know what to look for, all right? And because it's happening right under them in many cases,
Would they just tell their, just tell them, if you tell your parents of any of this, that will harm them? Is that how they keep their silence? Or?
Oh, yes. Once they get them, if they're not kidnapped, because most times they're not kidnapped.
Right.
But, you know, the three variables that they use, okay, are force, fraud, and coercion. All right. So let's say you're in a high school student, and believe me, there are recruiters right in the high school. Other students have to recruit, because once they're caught up in that snare, they are told by the traffickers, you better bring me two or three more this weekend, you know, that type of thing. So if you go to a party, let's say a 15-year-old goes to a party, 16-year-old goes to a party, you know, they're having fun, they get involved in some drug use, all right, which maybe they don't want to do, but it's just done, and then they don't know what happened to them that night. They wake up the next morning, all right, and they don't know what the heck is going on. And then the person that recruited them would come in, and they've taken photographs. So now they say, well, you know, tonight you got to be back. You know, there's more going on here. And they're saying, no, that wasn't me. I didn't do anything like that. But they have photographs, and they say, well, you know, we're going to put these photographs on the Internet, and your parents are going to see it, your friends are going to see it. So it's that type of thing. It's an intimidation and, you know, force, fraud, coercion. Those are the three variables.
It almost sounds very similar to that whole Jeffrey Epstein situation, you know, and how they would recruit.
Yeah. That's an unfortunate situation. It's too bad the government handled it the way they did. But let's hope that Ghislaine Maxwell will be able to tell us exactly what was going on.
Yeah, I guess those documents are going to be released at some point. I think the courts have already deemed it that they're going to open them up. So then let's kind of come full circle with this then, Dave. What can we do as a people who hear this that may not even be familiar that it's as rampant as it is, particularly here in our home state? How can we be more proactive? Are there guidelines? Are there steps that you're advocating for to bring awareness to this? What can we do to be more aware and to stomp out, if you will, human trafficking?
Well, as a population, there's three things we can do. We can pray, mm-hmm. and ironically, you had Pastor Joel on, and Pastor Joel is a member of my Stop the Traffic Committee that Rotary organized 3 years ago. And after you pray, you can certainly volunteer. There's a slew of organizations that are trying to stomp out human trafficking. And then you can donate. A lot of these organizations need donations. I mean, right now with the COVID pandemic, organizations are really hurting, as you know. Any organization is hurting. It depends on donations and contributions. And, you know, and they need those. They need those to continue their work. So, and believe it or not, during this pandemic, trafficking has actually increased.
Oh, you're kidding.
The numbers show that it's increased mainly because of the Internet, because these students are on the Internet all the time now. And if they're not being watched, it's family, you know, the family member is working, you know, or whatever. And these traffickers know that. So there's all these different sites. And I don't know all the sites, but there are at least two dozen sites that are known that these teenagers visit, and they are traffickers on those sites.
Yeah, and it really behooves parents to become more involved in their children's lives and know where they're some of the sites that they're seeing online. How is Rotary involved in stomping out human trafficking? I remember seeing billboards on the Berlin Turnpike and elsewhere, but I know that, you know, you're very proactive in this, and it seems to be a passion of yours personally to stomp out and to eradicate human trafficking altogether. But if you can just share with us specifically,
all right,
Rotary's not position, but their involvement in eradicating human trafficking.
All right. Well, I'm happy to report that Rotary International, which is the Rotaries all over the world, they also have taken on this cause, and they've created an action group worldwide, which is looking at it from the perspective of those individual countries. But for Newington Rotary, we started the Stop the Traffic Committee mainly to raise awareness, to educate, and to provide opportunities for action in an effort to enable the people in all communities to help eradicate. So what we've done, we've had public forums, we've had speaking engagements. I've spoken to a number of groups and organizations to tell them what we're doing. We certainly donate. We're very active with the Salvation Army and Love 146, so we donate where we can. DCF's heart team is phenomenal because they're actually the first line of defense. So in other words, if somebody is found to be trafficked, usually DCF is the first one to be called if it involves somebody under 18. If it's an adult, it's a whole different thing. So we're just trying, you know, first you have to have awareness, education. We're trying to get into the school system.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important to get into the school system. I personally believe it should be in the upper middle school and also definitely the high school to tell these students what to look for, what are the signs that they need to look for, and then also to let the parents and others, whether you're godparent, grandparent, whatever, what you should be looking for. There's just so many different things. So Newington is continuing this. You know, our mission is to also try and help the victims, all right? We don't want to call them victims. I shouldn't have used that. We call them survivors.
Nice.
Because they will survive.
That's great, yeah. No, keep going. Yeah, that's...
All right, so we have a group known as Amira, and Amira is they operate a safe house in Massachusetts, for instance. This is one example. And there aren't enough of these safe houses around, by the way, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
But they're about to open one in Connecticut. Now they deal with 18 and over. So, but what they do is they offer a number of programs to get these survivors back on track, okay? Whether it's, psychological issues, health issues, they teach them how to get back on their feet, get employment, you know, so they can regain the independence and the life that they had before they were trafficked. So that's one group, Amira. And as far as the under 18, that's the ones that we're keying on. But again, there isn't a safe house that you can go to, at least not in Connecticut or anything like that. But there are so many services out there in DCF and Love 146, the underground, everyone is involved in this. So that's what we're striving for.
That's outstanding. You got your plate really full. And finally, my final question for you, Dave, is what advice can you offer family members? You know, schools, you mentioned schools to get more involved, and even friends, just looking out for their fellow friends. But which is, by the way, that can't be stated, you know, enough. But let's really quickly, what advice would you have for parents in safeguarding their children from human trafficking?
Well, I think once you become aware that it's here, all right, which is what we're trying to do, but there are other, so many other agencies that are doing that. Once you even hear the word human trafficking, sit down and have a conversation.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. If you go to a lot of these websites that the organizations have and you look at some of the videos, the key is that the adult has to communicate what's going on. They can talk about what signs to look for. And certainly to come and ask for help. You know, we're all so busy today, you know, as adults. I mean, some of us, you know, some people work two or three jobs.
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah.
You know, and sometimes we just don't devote the time to our children that maybe we should. And that's not a negative way, but it's just something that's part of our...
Couldn't agree with you more. Assistant Governor for Rotary District 7890, Dave Tedeschi, thanks for being with us this morning and all of that information that you provided. Check out Love 146 in America. Really quickly, I'm up against the break. Really quick.
All right, just wanted to say today is, as you mentioned, is World Day Against Human Trafficking. The United Nations designated this day. So today at noon, if you just take time, we're looking for everybody to just say a prayer at noontime. If everybody just says a little prayer to please God to help us get rid of human trafficking, that's all I ask today.
And will do. Thanks for that advice. Thanks for all of your information and your insight. And thank you for your time and dedication to this. Folks, check out Rotary, check out Love 146, and as well as...